story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. I need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, and supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, the views of our guests, and of course, today our guest, hopefully, is going to be Dr. Dennis Cuddy, who is one of my favorite guests. And for those of you who don't know Dr. Cuddy, he's taught at the university level. He was in the Department of Education during the Reagan administration. He's testified before Congress. But he is a prolific writer. He's a great researcher. And we carry certainly of his books, The Road to Socialism, Cover-Up, going in the background of 9-1-1. And then certainly the timeline for the New World Order and education, and we're going to be making an offer here at the end of the program for those of you who'd like to help us get his book, Secret Records Revealed, back in print, complete, with an index and an epilogue, bring it right up to date. But right now, Dr. Cuddy is going to be covering his latest article that appeared at newswithviews.com, and you can go there, www.newswithviews.com, and pull down the article. It really deals with what he calls Robin Hood, but this idea of how do you enslave a people? How do you get people so wrapped up in what they're doing that they don't understand that they're losing their freedom? And, well, without further ado, Dr. Dennis Cuddy. Hi, Dennis.
Hello there.
Hey, let's. I thought it was a fascinating article. Reread it. I really enjoyed it. So, why don't you pick the story up?
Well, right. Actually, I did a little play on words. This is the Robbing Hood, as in people who rob and their hoods and so forth, rather than the fellow of folklore, Robin Hood. And it's actually, when I get to it, it'll be the opposite of that. And we'll pick up on that right now, and if there's a little time at the end, I'm going to say some more things about what I talked last with this audience about, but we didn't get to finish it. But we'll pick up with this one right now, because I thought it might be interesting to show how this process of the dialectic and the power elites and how they work things out. I've mentioned bits and pieces of it periodically, depending upon the issue, but I thought I'd lay out a sort of scenario step by step. And so basically I ask, have you ever wondered why things are in the mess they're in today, and there seems to be no control over events that are unfolding? We just seem to be speeding headlong into the future, and there seems to be this sort of chaos, and, you know, what can we do about this? It's out of our control, and so on. And so what I try to do is say this is really because of the effect of certain principles that the power elite uses. And to understand how it works, you actually have to try to think like they think. And so this is a process that one would go through. Let's say you were Cecil Rhodes, and it's over 100 years ago, and you're trying to come up with this plan to, as Rhodes said, to take the government of the whole world. How would you do it? And so the first step would be you want to corrupt the masses, the mass of people, whether it's of a country, the world, a city, or whatever it is. And there are various ways to do that. The example I give is to get people to tolerate sex outside of marriage. Because what you would have them doing there, and it could be anything, this is just one example, is you basically would be telling God to get lost. Because there are certain principles in the Bible that it says over and over again that if you do these things or one of these things, you will wind up in hell forever. It's fairly clear that God has laid these out. And so what you want to do is break down that moral absolute, and you want to get somebody to violate one of these. In this case, I gave the example of sex outside of marriage, fornication, or adultery.
We'll hold that line because we're going to be back here in just a moment. But it is interesting how our whole moral fabric of our society has changed in the last 50 years. And we'll be right back with Dr. Cuddy.
Hello, friends. Alex Jones here with an important question. When was the last time you used pure soap? I mean, real hard to find all-natural pure soap that contains no dyes, perfumes, deodorants, detergents, or other dangerous toxins. The Calbin Pure Soap Company, for the past 57 years, has been making triple-concentrated pure soaps exclusively for healthcare professionals and hospitals. Now, for the first time, Calbin Pure Soap is available factory-direct to you and your family. That's great news because Calbin Pure Soap is made from all-natural ingredients. It's earth-friendly and completely environmentally safe. So if you want yesterday's values today for good old-fashioned pure soap, call 1-800-340-7091. Save up to 85% off supermarket and retail store prices. Call today for a Calbin soap catalog at 1-800-340-7091. That's 1-800-340-7091 or on the web at calbinpuresoap.com. Try pure soap once and I'll guarantee you'll never use anything else.
Are terrorist cells or prime terror targets located near you? Where are military bases and hazardous waste sites located? How do you find the best area for solar, average rainfall, fish contamination advisories, and major transportation routes? In the new interactive CD book, Prudent Places USA, you will find the information you want with over 50 interactive parameters that you control. Find everything from housing prices and taxes to brewing environmental catastrophes. Locate billion-dollar disaster-prone areas, the safest cities, ideal solar locations, and much, much more. Complete with over 3 gigabytes of detailed information on each of the 3,000 plus counties in the U.S., including 550 high resolution, full color maps, and full color photographs, as well as detailed information and analysis that you need. Get this hard to find information by ordering Prudent Places USA now for only $29 plus shipping and handling by calling New Millennium at 888-803-4438 or order on the web at BerkeyWater.com.
Do you need money to help pay for health care costs or to supplement your retirement income? Are you 65 years of age or older and own a life insurance policy with a death benefit of $250,000 or more that's getting too expensive or no longer needed? Are you considering canceling or surrendering your life insurance policy for its cash value? Hermosa Group can evaluate your policy to see if you qualify for a life settlement. A life settlement can generate more money than the surrender value, and you can receive a lump sum payment within 45 days. Having your policy evaluated by Hermosa Group is free, easy, and carries no obligation. All policies qualify. Sell your life insurance policy for a large cash settlement today. Call 888-590-8705. That's 888-590-8705 to find out how much your policy is worth. Enjoy the benefits of a life settlement from Hermosa Group. Call 888-590-8705. That's 888-590-8705.
Dan back here at the Genesis Communication Network, and our guest this afternoon is Dr. Dennis Cuddy, and basically he's talking about robbing a hood. Anyway, go ahead. You pick up the story there, Dennis.
Sure. What I'm laying out is a process, a procedure, a sort of step-by-step plan of how the power elite would gain control. One of the first things they would do, if you were to think like these people, you shouldn't act like them, but to understand what they're about, if you think like them, they want to corrupt people, corrupt them morally, corrupt them many ways. And I gave the example of tolerate sex outside of marriage as an example, because the moral foundation is really the basic foundation for everyone's life. And if you can get people who call themselves Christians to have sex outside of marriage, then what you've basically done is have them say to themselves, whether they say this out loud, doesn't matter, is they'll say, well, yes, I know God says don't do this. I know it's serious. I know I would be, God says I'm going to hell, but I don't care. I'm going to do it anyway. Once you get people to do that, to actually do that, then what you've done is started this process of really corruption, moral corruption. Now, the way you do it, I put as point number two, is you get them to rationalize. You want them to rationalize this bad behavior. For example, if they cheat on school exams or in athletics, you say, well, you know, others are cheating, so to make it fair, I really have to cheat too. You get them into that rationalizing, you know, coming up with some sort of excuse so they can do what they want to do anyway, regardless of whether it's immoral or God says don't do it. And so Once you get them to do that in one thing, then it's simply easy to get them to do it in anything. You can cheat on your job, cheat on your taxes, cheat in a marriage, whatever. And sometimes there'll be excuses like, well, poverty caused it. You know, these people, we need to overlook that because they were poor, and so they had a reason to steal. So what you've done, once you've corrupted the masses, at least gotten them to start doing that, you've got them to rationalize this bad behavior, the result, of course, is that standards are destroyed. If there are no, let's say, academic standards or standards in art, in music, or whatever it is, then anything basically goes. We used to have high academic standards, or you'd see a great work of art, and you'd see the color and the play of the light and the strokes and the blending of images and so on. You say there would be certain standards, and you say this is really high quality art. Well, 100 years or so ago, with various impressionists and so on, what they started to do was sort of like rock and roll on the road to rock music. Once you destroy either moral absolutes or standards, high standards of art or music and so on, what you've done is allowed everybody to create their own standards, so that what's good for you may not be good for me. You know, you have your own morality, but don't impose yours on mine. You know, I'm going to do my thing, and I will have my own standard of what's right and wrong. And so the public schools pick up on that. You know, Johnny and Janie determine what's right based on the situation and so on. Now, one way you get people to do this is sometimes, step four I put, is you appeal to the ego. If you had somebody come up to a student and say, I'm going to corrupt you, child, and I'm going to destroy your high academic standards, they would obviously resist. So you have to do, it's sort of like flattery will get you anywhere, that sort of principle. You would tell a youngster, oh, you're very, very smart, you're an intellectual, you're going to be in the advanced class, and of course, because you're so smart, you know, your parents are nice people, but, you know, they're old-fashioned, and you have the new knowledge, so you flatter them. And this way you can get them to enter into this sort of attitude of, I am superior, I will do my own thing, nobody should tell me what to do, including parents. And so what you have done now is set the basis for creating disrespect, not only for parents, but for the laws. For example, if you were to tell people, well, you know, we have a lot of illegal immigration, but those people, they're really doing jobs that most Americans won't do, so let's overlook it. You know, they're hardworking people, and so let's just overlook this illegal immigration that's occurring. What you've done by getting people to rationalize that, remember I said rationalize bad behavior, is you're setting a precedent. You're setting a precedent for violations of other laws. And so what I ask people is, if they go along with that principle, is I say, okay, what laws are you telling your children they don't have to obey? Drugs? Can your children take it? Well, no. Well, what law? I mean, if you're going to say ignore illegal immigration, then what laws, what message is that sending to your children? And so what you have then through this whole process, including the wiping out of high academic standards, is you've dumbed down the population. You would have a high rate of illiteracy. Very important, don't teach people how to read correctly through an intensive systematic phonics approach. You want to keep them so they're somewhat illiterate, because with literacy comes knowledge. You want to keep the people ignorant. As long as you can keep the people ignorant of things going on, their history, and so forth, you will be able to manipulate them more easily. Now, you can't just say, be dumb. You have to provide something in its place. So what you do, if you're the power leaders, you have to emphasize fun. You know, everything has to be fun. If education isn't fun, it's not worth it. You give them games, video games, rock concerts, soap operas. You know, keep them happy. You know, fat, dumb, and happy. Keep them occupied, and so that you can do your own thing. You're a control mechanism. One of the important things that the power elite would want to control, of course, would be the media. Because this is a source of information. And what this is allows the people to do, it's important to understand what the media's role is. It isn't just what we tell people, trying to condition them or propagandize them. Equally important is what the people are not told. And in the past, I've mentioned how J.P. Morgan, following up on Cecil Rhodes' plan, originally was going to buy up about 200 or so newspapers, but they figured out, and this was 100 years ago, that all you really had to do was buy up about 25 of the leading newspapers, because the others got their information from them. And so in that term, it's the same thing with the media broadening out into television, radio today. If you can control the media, then you control what people are told and, just as importantly, what they're not told. And it also allows the people to be distracted. In other words, if you don't read a lot, and people tend to now not read the newspaper so much, although the newspapers are propaganda tools as well, but they get their information, say, from the nightly news. What you can do there is more easily distract them. You come home, 6:30, CBS, NBC, ABC, well, what's in the news? Practice. I've got to do this and that. Busy, busy, busy all the time. Not enough hours in the day. You've heard that expression. What that means is they won't have time to actually reflect upon what is happening to them, this conditioning process of the paralee. And if you can't reflect on it and organize your thoughts, you then, you know, won't be able to organize a group or a movement against them. If you just keep people so busy, they're tired, they're worn out. And they will not have the energy or inclination to organize to resist what the paralytic's control mechanisms are doing. And so what you've done there is you've worn the people down. Now, that's important not in any individual sense. It has to be a total process. You actually create a process that makes it difficult to redress the grievances. So it's not just that, you know, you're making the people have to go here, go there, do this, do that, and so forth, busy, busy, busy work. But you create a whole process. And the example that I've given, which makes it difficult and keeps people busy and wears them down of redressing grievances, is in the education. But it works anywhere. It works, you know, with businesses that you're having trouble with, corporations. What I mean by a process is, you know, let's say there's something wrong in your school. Well, they know that if they're dumbing the children down and you're going to have problems, that you're going to object. And so the process is you go to the teacher. Well, the teacher knows how to deal with you. I'm the expert. You know, you don't have an degree in education, so, you know, just be quiet and I know what's best. All right, let's say you don't buy that. Well, then you go to the principal, and he'll sit there, she'll sit there and listen to this. And you know, if you don't get satisfaction there and you get other parents and they say, well, this is just horrible and our children aren't learning, well, they know how to deal with that. You bump it up the line. They form committees of school board members. They're going to study the problem. There's supposed to be a meeting of the school board, you know, next Tuesday. Well, I'm sorry, that's delayed to the following Tuesday. Here you've organized, you know, 1,000 parents for that Tuesday. Oh my goodness, you know, the meeting's canceled. Now, can you really get all the 1,000 for the next Tuesday? And so they have this whole process that they go through. And in the end, what you'd be willing to do, what you would hope to do with a recalcitrant superintendent is get rid of them. Let's say for some reason you go through this long, drawn-out process and you're actually successful in getting rid of the top person, the superintendent, who's causing your difficulties. Well, the process doesn't even stop there. The next superintendent has to be certified and accredited and have the stamp of approval of a college of education, which gave you the former superintendent. So even if you get rid of that one, the next one is going to have jumped through the same hoops and basically have the same philosophy, because that's the way it's structured. They'll put this into legislation that, you know, you have to have certain degrees and so on. Yeah, I remember when I started teaching, if you wanted to be an administrator, for example, in a school system, a principal, you had to take very, very, very little educational psychology courses. They wanted you to be expert in your field, history, chemistry, whatever. Now, no, not even now, 20 years ago, some years after I was teaching, I looked back at that, and you have to have a whole slew of these educational...
Hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment with Dr. Dennis Kelly as we show how they've dumbed down our children intentionally.
Some people believe a group of wealthy men control political parties, the American media, and the wealth of our nation. Is this true? Dr. Stanley Monteith spent 40 years studying secret societies and subversive movements. He lived in Africa for 3 years, and when he returned home, he studied the writings of the men who shaped the modern world. His book, Brotherhood of Darkness, identifies the people who control the world and the organizations they created. Dr. Monteith exposes the movement behind Rhodes Scholarship, the origin of the Council on Foreign Relations, and the myths surrounding communism. He discusses the goal of all covert organizations, so if you read Brotherhood of Darkness, you will learn a secret that has been passed down through the centuries. When you learn this secret, you will understand what the future holds and what you must do to help preserve our nation. Call and order your copy. 877-300-7645. Only $12.95. That's 877-300-7695.
Ted Anderson from Midas Resources. Today is September 27, 2006. Gold opened at $595.50, and 1 ounce gold coins can be purchased for $627.78. Again, that's $627.78 to purchase 1 ounce gold coins. With a slow economy, real estate prices dropping, war on terrorism, the economical climate in the United States is questionable. U.S. citizens work a third of their life just to cover tax liabilities. Bankruptcies continue to weaken our financial institutions. Midas is offering the 2007 Red Book, a guide for U.S. gold and silver coins. Many of you are considering getting involved, but before you purchase precious metals, pick up a copy for reference at 1-800-686-2237. Or to evaluate the position you have already accumulated, call 1-800-686-2237. That's 1-800-686-2237.
Do you know where the 78 potentially active volcanoes in the U.S. are located? And do you know the locations of the top 300 prime terrorist targets? You can find these answers and more in the new interactive CD book, Prudent Places USA. With the more than 50 interactive parameters, you can pinpoint natural and man-made disaster areas, brewing environmental catastrophes, the safest cities, the best places for solar and wind energy, and much, much more. Complete with 3 gigabytes of detailed information on each of 3,000-plus counties in the U.S., including 550 high-resolution full-color maps and full-color photographs, as well as detailed information and analysis to help you zero in on the best places to live, the ideal location for cabins and vacation homes, as well as safe and unsafe areas. Get Prudent Places USA for only $29 plus shipping by calling New Millennium at 888-803-4438. That's 888-803-4438 to order on the web or at BerkeyWater.com.
For years, you've been hearing about Herbal Healer Academy and how it's remained the leader in effective, alternative, and natural medicine and education. But how can they continue to hold that title for years on end? The answer is high quality and huge selection. Just visit herbalhealer.com and shop online or request a free catalog. You're bound to find the alternative you're looking for. Did you know that Herbal Healer carries the latest, safest, and effective weight loss products? You can also count on Herbal Healer for the largest selection of safe and natural supplements just for children. And don't forget your pets. Herbal Healer even has natural mineral supplements for all your animals, including horses, cows, and birds. Take a peek at their online calendar, and you're sure to find everything you need and maybe something you didn't realize you needed. Visit HerbalHealer.com and don't forget to sign up for the free Herbal Healer newsletter. HerbalHealer.com, working with the power of nature.
Well, Dr. Stan, back here at the Genesis Communication Network, and our guest is Dr. Dennis Cuddy, and we're talking about this latest article up on News Reviews, and he's basically talking about the fact that our children are illiterate. In fact, when our students in the fourth grade and they're tested and compared with students from other nations, why our students don't fare very well. But at the end of the eighth grade, they do terribly, and by the time they graduate from high school, they cannot compete effectively with children from other countries. We have in America today, according to the Department of Education, we have approximately 100 million people who are functionally illiterate in this country. This did not happen by accident. It is part of a carefully scheduled plan. They know exactly what they're doing. They just don't want anybody to realize what they're doing. And when people complained, oh, we're going to have a new program, we're going to come up with a new math or a new type of reading, or we're really going to remedy the situation, they have no intention of remedying it. They are intentionally dumbing down our children so that they will be subservient in this new world order. This wonderful new utopia run by an unelected elite that is very, very eminent. Dr. Kelly, pick up the story.
Well, okay. What I was saying was wear the people down. That was point number nine. And the way you do that is not only create individual situations, but a whole process that people would have to go through to get some sort of change, some sort of redress of grievances. But at the end of it, and I was using education as an example, is even if you're successful in going through a whole year-long process and the delays and committee meetings and studying problems and so on, and you finally figure out that the head person, a superintendent, is the problem, and you're successful, and there's 5,000 people show up at a rally, and you get rid of the superintendent, what do you get? You get a person who's gone through the same certification process that person had to go through to get their superintendent certificate. They have to be accredited and so on, certified by this College of Education, which has given you that. And sometimes this is actually in law, that certain things are mandated by the law that have to be fulfilled, you know, certain degree requirements and so on, which guarantee that you're going to get the same sort of person. In fact, sometimes I think there's sort of a musical chairs that they play. I've watched some superintendents, and they'll pop up in one city for 2-3 years. They'll do their, you know, forced busing routine or whatever it is, and people yell at them, and so they move on to the second city, and they'll do that thing there. And in the first city, you get a new one, and people say, well, maybe this will be better, but you find out that they're going to shift children all over the place for, you know racial balance or something like that, or economic distribution, and then the people get mad at that for 2 years, and they move on and do that same thing in the next city and so on. And it seems like there's, you know, sort of, like I said, a musical chairs going on here. And what you hear is they say, well, yeah, okay, things aren't not so good, so what we need is innovation. They keep saying innovation. Well, innovation is the last thing you need, because that's really experimentation. What they need to do is focus on success. There's an interesting concept. And years ago, we had a rather successful school system. And a lot of times they'll say, well, you know, you got more people of impoverished into the schools now, and, you know, this is difficult. And then we had integration, you know, and the blacks have been discriminated against, and so you have to understand all this stuff. And so all of this is a lot of malarkey. Because what they did in one state, in fact, the state I'm in, I'm asking wherever your listeners are, it's the same, is they say, well, you know, it's those impoverished black parents. You know, that was the problem. We have to understand they're poor and some of that. But what they found is when the youngsters, black and white and Hispanic, entered the first grade, they had the same percentage of advanced placement youngsters, advanced. It was only after the school got a hold of them that the minority youngsters started to fall behind. So if there's a problem with No Child Left Behind, there's a gap, they say, between blacks and whites, guess what? It wasn't the poor black parent at home that was doing this. It was the school who was creating the problem, because my state is 30% minority, and 30% of the advanced placement in the first grade was minority. It was only after the schools got a hold of them, the same is probably true in California and Texas and everywhere else, that the youngsters started to get bad off. And that is because of this dumbing down process. So anyway, you corrupt the masses, you rationalize the bad behavior, you destroy standards, you appeal to the ego of people to get them to go along with, like, you know, you're special and you're one of us and, you know, we're doing something different. You create a certain amount of disrespect for parental views and values, and then that translates to a disrespect for laws. You get to dumb down the population. You don't want them to know what you're doing. You control the media. That helps keep people busy and wear people down. Now, the next set I call robbing.
Dennis, we're going to have to take a break here in just a moment. The next time we won't have another break. This is the last break we have. But you just hang on there, and we'll be back in just a minute with Dr. Dennis Cuddy as we talk about, of course, how they're deliberately dumbing down our children.
Order a copy of this show for your friends and family at GCNLive.com or call 877-300-7645.
You're tired of spending a small fortune every time you fill up. Now you can do something about it. Ethos FR, a product used all over the world, has reported savings of up to 19% on gas and even reduced emissions of up to 30%. Ethos FR is easy to use and works with any kind of fuel, including gasoline, diesel, and ethanol. Ethos FR works by reformulating the gas in your tank to burn more completely, resulting in a cleaner engine, better mileage, more power, and fewer emissions. So visit ctsafegas.com and start saving today. That's ctsafegas.com.
Are your Federal Reserve notes looking for a safe haven? Mine found it in precious metals. Not paper promises, but actual gold in my possession. It is liquid, it is private, it owes no one, it cannot go bankrupt, and it maintains its purchasing power. Find your answer at Midas Resources. That's 1-800-686-2237. The answer is at 1-800-686-2237.
The Berkey Security Pack is your one-stop solution for unexpected emergencies. It provides you with purified water, light, power, and communications ability. The Security Pack includes a Berkey Light water purifier, an LED base, two Berkey Sport filtration bottles, the Berkey battery adapter, the Berkey MP solar charger, as well as a backup set of two Black Berkey purification elements. The Berkey Security Pack is important every day and a must during emergencies because it provides purified water, long-term low-energy lighting, backup battery power for your Berkey LEDs, free long-term solar power for communications devices such as radios, walkie-talkies, and cell phones, as well as power for small applications. Get the one-stop solution for your emergency and everyday needs. The Berkey Security Pack, a retail value of $518 for only $399 by calling New Millennium at 888-803-4438. Not yet available in Iowa.
Did you ever wonder how an opera singer that hits a high note is able to shatter a wine glass? Well, the glass has a natural resonance. If the resonant frequency force making the glass vibrate is big enough, the size of the vibration will become so large that the glass shatters. Using a similar principle, Royal Raymond Rife discovered that disease organisms can be destroyed using different resonant frequencies. The BioSolutions frequency instrument uses the same technology for relief or elimination of pain and disease conditions with no side effects. The 2006 BioSolutions Plus is the easy to operate frequency instrument ever developed. Its easy reference guide will allow you to begin using the instrument within minutes. Simple step-by-step instructions using pictures are easy to follow. Customer satisfaction is guaranteed or your money back. Don't just treat symptoms, eliminate the cause. For more information, call BioSolutions toll-free 1-866-885-6625. That's 1-866-885-6625. 1-866-885-6625.
Genesis Communication Network, and our guest is Dr. Dennis Cuddy, and he's explaining how they've been able to beguile the American people. They know exactly what they're doing. This is actually taught, and the administrators know exactly how to placate the parents, and, oh, we're so concerned, we understand, but of course nothing ever gets changed at all, because their objective is not to educate, but to indoctrinate our children and to dumb them down, and boy, are they succeeding. And people say, why would anybody want to do that? Well, we don't understand. There are people who have a different worldview. They really do believe in a ruling elite. They believe, of course, that the serfs should simply be not educated. Their job is simply to serve the elite and, of course, to be little worker bees, for the all-powerful state, for the elite, the administrators. Go ahead, Ben.
Okay, so they have this process. They've gone through the corrupting of the masses, destroying standards, and so on, and they've dumbed the people down. So now, if you have a dumbed down people who are kept busy and they're worn out, it's fairly easy to move to the next step, which is economic, and that's where the term robbing, R-O-B-B-I-N-G, is the term I'm using, Robin Hood principle, clicks in here. And basically what that is an assault upon the middle class. The poor pay very little taxes or no taxes at all. The rich pay taxes, and they pay a fairly high amount of taxes, but in terms of percentage of their overall income, it's relatively small. Now, rich people may pay a fairly good size amount in terms of just dollars, but as a percentage of their income, it's not that great. The real burden is pummeled upon the middle class. And so this is why I call it robbing, robbing hood. They're like hoods, robbing people. The robbing hood principle, where you overly burden the middle class with taxes. That's the exact opposite, of course, of Robin, R-O-B-I-N, hood. And what he was doing was taking from the rich, giving to the poor. And, you know, I'm not encouraging all that, too. I'm just using this term as a principle. And so the way they do that is the power elite controls politicians who then tax the middle class in order to basically transfer wealth to themselves. The power elite via, you know, corporate bailouts and all sorts of other mechanisms. You overly burden the middle class because ultimately, of course, what they wanted, and I mentioned this in previous programs, is a return to feudalism, F-E-U-D-A-L-I-S-M, feudalism, where you have this elite at the top, you know, the king, the nobles, the dukes, the earls, all this sort of stuff, and then you have these worker bees, peasants, serfs, oafs, knaves, that type of, you know, like 1,000 years ago, the old feudal days. And so that's what they want to return to, but in a sort of corporate sense. You know, it's like a techno-feudal fascism that they've got going on, because it's a corporation's elite with the government, which they control, you know, through politicians who they control. And so one way they are able to do this is by creating crises. It could be an economic crisis, whatever. So what happens is the people are starting to mumble, you know, something's wrong, you know, we know something's wrong, maybe we ought to do something about it. So if the people are becoming dissatisfied, then what they do is they create a crisis to shift their attention and get them to accept things, you know, such as infringement on their freedom, you know, Patriot Act, Homeland Security, whatever, that they otherwise would not have accepted. And the example I give of, you know, how this plays out is from Hermann Göring. He said during the Nuremberg trials, he was, you know, one of Hitler's top people, Hermann Göring. And this is a quote by Göring, and he knows exactly what's going on. He says, this is Göring at Nuremberg. He says, quote, "It is always simple matter to drag the people along, whether it is a democracy or a fascist dictatorship or a parliament or a communist dictatorship. All you have to do is tell them, the people, they are being attacked, and denounce the pacifist for lack of patriotism and exposing the country to danger. It works the same in every country," end quote. And so this is a time-tested principle. And to make it more recent and American, what I do next is quote from a Ben Sargent cartoon. It actually appeared in the Austin American Statesman, but it's all over Universal Press Syndicate, syndicated thing. And it's a long cartoon, but just an abbreviation of it shows this Hollywood agent. He's, you know, got the cigar and he's got the dark glasses on. And he says, you know, "Wow, I really got rich when I discovered crisis promotion," quote unquote. And he said, "I made millions creating the drug crisis, the homeless crisis, other crises, and had," quote, "Congress foaming to spend billions of dollars and make chopped liver of the Constitution," end quote. And that's true. And that's a cartoon that's not recent. I mean, that's, you know, 10 or so years ago. So this principle, the Göring, Hermann Göring principle, it was before him, though, I'm sure, is very, very typical of what they use. It's time-tested, and it seems to work every time. As Göring said, it doesn't matter whether it's a fascist dictatorship or, you know, a parliament, whatever, it works every time. And so what you do then is, through creating these crises, you can use with that a divide and conquer strategy. There's a technique, Delphi and other techniques, that are used to facilitate divisions. Usually you have this facilitator, maybe it's a group meeting or whatever it is, and you use these techniques to pit one side against another. And therefore, what you do by saying, well, those people over there, you know, they're recalcitrant. I mean, they don't want to cooperate. They don't want to get along. They don't want to work together. You know, we don't want to associate with those people. They're extremists. You know, you paint them with a broad brush. And so what you do there is you divide and conquer. You prevent a united opposition from occurring. And, for example, to get NAFTA passed, I remember watching that thing as it unfolded. And they tried, no, wouldn't pass. Didn't have the votes. Tried, no, didn't pass. Wouldn't have the votes. So what I saw them doing was actually offering exemptions to certain products step by step, state by state, until they could get that 51st U.S. senator to approve the agreement. Remember, not a treaty. They didn't want that, you know, as a treaty, as an agreement. And I think the last one was, you know, the tomato exemption for the state of Florida or whatever it is. But I remember right at the end, they said, okay, we'll exempt from NAFTA this particular product. And sure enough, that was an important product to a particular state. The two senators said, okay, we changed our mind. We vote for it. There's 51. And so that's part of this divide and conquer strategy. Okay, so what they do then is you can't just divide people. You have to give them a carrot, you know, not just a stick, beat them over the head. You have to have an incentive. So they give a carrot by creating economic incentives. So what the power elite wants to ultimately is to have globalization, you know, total economic, then a world government. And so to promote globalization, what they might do is give a tax break to corporations to relocate outside the U.S., which they've done. And then they'll tell the people, okay, now, you know, you people are grumbling about this. You're grumbling, you middle-class types. You don't like these corporations going overseas, do you? After we approve NAFTA? Well, if you speak out too much, you know what's going to happen. And the public, you know, been dumbed down. They say, no, what's going to happen? Say, well, don't you have retirement accounts? Well, yes. 401ks? Yes. Do you know where they're invested? Where? And they're told very politely that your 401ks are very, very dependent on your investments, which happen to be in these corporations, which are transnational, which now get a lot of their money from overseas. And so if you undercut them, you're undercutting your retirement funds. And so people, being dumbed down and corrupted, go back to watching their soap operas and, you know, eating pizzas and so forth. And so that's another way that they operate. So one to go along with that, you have a creation of coercive choices. Now, they'll get forceful if they have to, but rather than force people to do certain things, the power elite would rather coerce them. For example, you will find insurance premiums, if you check, are going through the roof. Your hospitalization is up. So what you'll find, as the example I give, is insurance companies will tell you, well, you know, the cost of hospitalization and all this technology and these expensive hospital improvements that are occurring, they're going to make your premiums go. However, we will not increase your premium substantially, and all of a sudden the dumbed-down public says, oh, okay, how? Well, we'll not do that if you voluntarily eat and exercise like we tell you to. They'll say suggest. They won't say we tell you. As we suggest you do, you know, they'll give you a certain diet, and you have to inform them, you know, of what you're eating and so forth. And that's just one example. They do this coercive thing in many, many ways. I remember back when former President Bush had his Points of Light program. And I remember literally looking at the information they put out and said, well, we want colleges and employers to make their hiring decisions or admission decisions based on whether you have voluntarily served. So I'm thinking, you know, this is really mandatory voluntarism. They're saying, you don't have to do this, but if you want to get to college, if you want a job, then you'll, quote, volunteer.
Now, that was for public service. This is the whole idea. You would volunteer for a couple of years of public service.
Right, or to graduate from high school.
Right.
If you look at all your high school, most of them now have a, quote, voluntary service, quote, requirement in order to graduate. You don't have to, but if you want to graduate, then you will, quote, volunteer to do these things or get admitted to college. You know, they may say, well, you know, okay, it's not required, but you will get a few extra points in your admission consideration if you do. Well, you know, college is very tough to get into, at least the better colleges, so you will, quote, volunteer to do that service, even if it isn't required. And so you have these what I call coercive choices. Now, even so, there may be some people out there who are wise to what they're doing. And so what you do, if you're the power elite, is you anticipate that. You know, you won't be caught off guard by any of this stuff. And so what you do is have controlled opposition. That's the next step. What they do is they create their own opposition. Now, that serves several functions. Number one, it will lure people into an association with this newly created controlled opposition. And what that allows them to do is monitor the people, maybe control their activities, you know, the rallies and when they have it, and neutralize their effectiveness if they have to. The opposition that's controlled by them, maybe originated by them, the paralegal, they may also be defamed or discredited. You know, you go to a rally that you think is going to be peaceful, but they have some provocateurs deliberately in there. They create violence, and all of a sudden, people say, "Well, you know, I don't want to be associated with that group, that opposition group. They're violent. So, you know, maybe I'll go back to my pizzas and soap operas again."
That's like that with 9/11. I mean, who do you think is funding all of these anti-Iraq war movements? The same people who are pushing the Iraq war. When are the people going to wake up?
The corporations fund the environmental movement as well. the tree hugging movement. They put a lot of money into them, and people think they're in opposition or not. Like you said, in Vietnam, I remember that testimony is found in the book called The Strawberry Statement, where this SDS informant comes before Congress and he's testifying that at this meeting they said, we ran into a few business international roundtable types who wanted to buy up a few radicals and create a great commotion deliberately. You know, so you had those riots and Mayor Daley was yelling and screaming in Chicago in 1968.